help us to commence this morning with hymn 758. Sons of God in tribulation, let your eyes the Saviour view. He's the rock of our salvation. He was tried and tempted too, all to succour every tempted burdened son. 758.
Thank you. us to read together from his holy word the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1. First epistle of Peter, chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what, or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth for ever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth for ever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. May God bless that reading of his holy word to us. May he teach us how to pray. Most merciful and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, we do thank thee for this opportunity once more to gather around thy word in thy house. We thank thee for another Lord's Day. We pray, Lord, that as we come to this day, we pray we may come rightly into thy house. We ask, Lord, for thy gracious preparation in our hearts. We pray, Lord, that thou art do us good this day as we meet together in thy name. We have thy gracious promise that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. But oh, we pray we may have that prayerful desire that thou wilt indeed fulfill that gracious promise. May we not be careless and prayerless as we come into thy house. May we not take things for granted. But oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt indeed gather us together in thy name. Lord, that thou would have the preeminence in all our thoughts and our worship this day. Lord, we ask that thou would not only grant us that presence, but grant us a sense of it, that thou art here, that we might know it feelingly in our hearts. Lord, we read of the two on the road to Emmaus, and they felt it. They couldn't see thee, but they felt thy presence. Their hearts burned within them as they walked and talked with thee in the way. And we pray that though we cannot see thee with the natural eye, we pray from time to time we might know that burning within us, that thou art here, that thou art with us. And we pray, Lord, that this may be one of those times today as we gather together around thy word. May thy word be made precious to us. May the word be attended with thy power, the power of thy Spirit, that though delivered in weakness, it may be heard and received in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And it might be the words of a king. Lord, that we might have an ear to hear and a heart to receive. We pray thy gracious application of thy word. Oh, we pray that thou do us good in thy good pleasure. Lord, that there might be true spiritual profit and prosperity from the preaching of thy word this day, both here and wherever thy name is faithfully proclaimed. We pray thy help this morning. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt grant us the quietness from the busy thoughts of our minds. Lord, the things that we're walking through at present, Lord, we pray that thou wilt come right where we are, touch the mountains that they may flow down. Lord, we pray that in hearing thy word and singing thy praises and meeting together in thy house, that we might know consolations. Lord, we might know the comfort and consolations of thy word. Lord, there might be a word in season for us, a word to encourage us, a word to strengthen us. Lord, those who have difficulties, those who have hard things, things they cannot understand, they cannot tell the reasons why, they cannot find how any good could come from them, we pray that thou wilt still their fears. It may be thy divine voice with power, saying, be still and know that I am God. Lord, we pray that thou wilt be that refuge for us. We pray that we might know that resting in thee. We may lay our cases at thy feet. We may know what it is to truly cast all our care upon thee. Lord, we find at times we're given a measure of liberty to cast, but we find ourselves taking some of it back. We find ourselves, Lord, putting our hands to things. We pray that we may know a true casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. May we feel it, Lord. May those things that one and another are passing through be used, designed for that end, that they may know that thou dost care for them. And so we pray that thou wilt pour out thy spirit upon us. May there be a spirit of grace and of supplications. May there be many hearts longing, seeking after thee. With that petition, sir, we would see Jesus. Oh, that we would see him in all the things that are upon us. We would see him going on before. Oh, but we might see a risen, exalted Saviour sitting at the Father's right hand. Oh, Lord, we pray for a single eye. We see many things. We look upon many things. But, oh, we pray we may know our eyes drawn to thee, that thou wilt take up all of our thoughts and our affections. Lord, that thou draw us to thyself. We are slothful, lukewarm, cold, indifferent at times. Lord, how we need that stirring up of our hearts. Lord, we pray we may not just drift along, a coming and going, another round of service, another Lord's Day, a coming and going, backwards and forwards, nothing done, nothing remaining. And oh, we pray we may know thy grace making a difference within us. May thy word enter with power. It may find that abiding place in our hearts. And Lord, may it be sealed there to remain. May we have something to build on. May we be led to the one true foundation, Jesus Christ and him crucified. May we build our hope of heaven on him and him alone. And so we pray, Lord, lead us to the rock that is higher than I. We pray that thou wilt lead us to thyself. May thy Spirit come and take of the things of Jesus and reveal them to us. May we know that teaching of thy Spirit. Make us wise unto salvation. Open the eyes of the blind. Unstop the ears of the deaf. And Lord, touch the lips, that there might be that confessing of the name of Jesus. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt loose the tongue. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt pour out the love of Christ in our hearts, that the very stones would cry out if we were to keep silence. Lord, some of the friends here have known those times where their hearts are overflowing, their cup running over. May it be so again. Lord, pour out a blessing, that there may not be room enough to receive it in our hearts. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt shower down blessings from on high. We are poor, unworthy, needy sinners. Lord, in and of ourselves, we have no right to expect answers. We cannot approach. Oh, but Lord Jesus, in thee we have boldness. Oh, we have a new and living way. We have acceptance in the Beloved. And we pray, dear Lord Jesus, that thou wilt take our poor prayers and present them at the Father's throne and obtain those answers of peace for us. And Lord, that thou wilt prove that to be that channel of mercy, and that the love of God the Father might flow through thee to us and be applied by thy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we look to thee. We can do nothing without thee. We are nothing without thee. Oh, but in him. Oh, Lord, may it be so for each one of us, to be found in him, to have a hope of heaven, an expectation of an inheritance, incorruptible, that fadeth not away. May we have an expectation of glory at last. We see so much in our own hearts to cast us down. We find at times so many things around us to cast us down. Oh, but dear Lord Jesus, we come on mercy's ground. We plead thy name. Oh, we do thank thee, Heavenly Father, for thy beloved Son, that thou hast given a name for poor sinners such as we to plead, a name which is above every name. Help us, Lord. Make us bow our knee before thee. Grant us, Lord, a view of ourselves, insufficient, sinful and undone. And grant us, Lord, a view of thyself, in all thy suitability to meet our every need. We bring before thee this church and people. We thank thee for maintaining them over the past year since we last met together. And we do pray that thou wilt, Lord, abundantly bless them as they seek to continue. We pray that thou wilt gather in from the congregation into the church. We pray that thou wilt continue to favour them with thy gracious help week by week, that further additions to the church might be made. We thank thee, Lord, for what thou hast done. We pray that thou wilt bless them together, bind the church in unity and in the bond of peace. Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant them thy grace, Lord, that they might esteem each other better than themselves. And so we pray, Lord, that thou remember the congregation. And Lord, that thou bless them indeed. And the neighbourhood, thou hast planted here at church. And we pray, Lord, that there might be the gathering in from this neighbourhood. That many sinners around this place may be brought in and the chapel filled with praying, seeking, longing souls. And it might be so with each of the causes of truth up and down this land. Thou revive thy work and pour out thy spirit upon us in this dark and evil day. Lord, that thy people may be stirred up. Lord, there might be that spirit of wrestling prayer. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless us as churches with those who sigh and cry for the abominations done in the land. Oh, we see so much in our day to cause concern. We wonder at times where the scene will end. We live in a day of confusion. Confusion in high places, in the royal family, in government, in society in general. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt raise up those who fear thy name, who know what Britain ought to do, and Lord, that thou wilt remember us. Lord, remove thy chastening hand, we pray. In much wrath, remember mercy, and deliver us from the power of sin and Satan, the spirit of Antichrist rising continually around us. Lord, may bear thy arm, arise for our help, and deliver us from our enemy. And so we ask that thou have mercy upon us. We pray that thou help us now as we turn to thy word. Lord, we ask that thou bless us with a sense of pardoned sin. Take away, Lord, the guilt and the condemnation. Lead us to the fountain of living water. Feed us with the bread of life. Forgive all we ask amiss. Take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously. As we ask, Lord Jesus, in thy name. Amen.
Hymn 333. O my soul, what means this sadness? Wherefore art thou thus cast down? Let thy griefs be turned to gladness. Bid thy restless fears be gone. Look to Jesus and rejoice in his dear name. 333.
Thank you.
Will you turn with me to the chapter we read, the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1. And with the Lord's help this morning, I'll speak to you from verse 7. First epistle of Peter, chapter 1, verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. First Epistle of Peter, chapter 1, the 7th verse, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter, writing this letter, the intended recipients are the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia, a general letter written to the early Church of God. And from reading this letter, we understand that the churches are under persecution. Where the Lord is working, Satan, we find, also working. He's anti-Christ. Where the Lord is blessing souls, you find Satan is busy. In a way, beloved friends, there's a comfort to the churches. It's not comfortable to be under persecution, to have trials and tribulations. But where the Lord's work is, there will be. The Lord is able at times to settle, to guard, to put that wall of fire round about his church, and he does. But in his wisdom and in his sovereign purposes, he at times permits Satan. There's a permissive will which permits Satan to come in and vex and try. And there's a designed end to these things. It is the honour and glory of God. It is for the good of his church. That if you and I are his people, we too will find the same things and experience the same things in our hearts. It is the same purpose for you and I to be tried, to have our religion tried, to have our faith tried, to have our hope in God tried, is necessary. We must be exercised. We cannot be blessed and then left with nothing going on in our hearts. That's a sign of deadness. We must be active, but we're sinners. We're not active at the throne of grace as we should be. We need the Lord to work and work in our hearts. And he works in many ways. And don't get me wrong this morning. He doesn't just work in trouble. No, blessed be the Lord. He works a work of love. He works a work of grace. And that love of Christ in the heart, at times the soul is brought into green pastures and beside the still waters and does know Satan at bay and things going well and a pathway of ease. But it's not one continual path of ease which leads a soul through this life to glory at last. It's at times through the valley. At times we must be brought into the valley At times we must be brought low in that valley, but it's passing through the valley. The valley is not our rest. The pathway for a child of God is through the valley to the rest that remains. And at times we have the valley, and at times we're brought out of the valley, and we're brought up, and we're set on the hilltop, we're on the mountaintop, and we see the way clear, and we sing the praises of God, and our troubles are behind us, and the valley's behind us, and we're on the mountaintop, and we're singing his praises, and it's to his praise, his honour, and his glory. And so the early churches that Peter's writing to are under tribulation and trial. There's persecution. There's the enemy. And they're struggling on. And Peter writes, and he writes to encourage them, that there will be a victory, that these sufferings that they're under have an end. Beloved friends, there's an end to everything. You know, I don't know what you're in this morning, but I know this, there's an end to it. There's an end to everything. Ah, but where does it end? You know, whatever trouble you're in, maybe family trouble, work trouble, school trouble, friendship trouble, relationship trouble, all of those things, money trouble, health trouble, they all have an end. It will not last. There's an end to everything. Ah, but you say, my trouble is one that's deeper. My trouble is a soul trouble. And does that have an end? Well, beloved friends, if you're truly in soul trouble this morning, yes, it does have an end. Oh, it ends at the feet of Jesus. And it's, I can tell you, it is the Lord's designed end in your soul trouble this morning to bring you there. Now, I don't know when, and I don't know how, because he works in different ways with different people at different times in their lives, but the soul that is vexed, concerned, overwhelmed with a sense of guilt, of their sin and condemnation, who are finding this is the trouble they're in, that they're not right, they're not ready. They know they've got to give an account. Eternity is a tremendous sound this morning. Oh, beloved friends, there's an end to that. And I pray the Lord will make it a swift end for you. He'll bring you to his feet, repentant, confessing your sin, and experiencing his power to save, how able he is to make that mountain flow down at his presence. Poet Peter, he writes from experience. You know, Peter says, wherein ye greatly rejoice. You rejoice in a hope, he says. You rejoice in a prospect, but wherein you rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. I wonder if it's where you are this morning. Manifold temptations. There's a need to be. There's a need to be. You know, it's not just so happening. It's not by chance. There's a need to be. The Lord is bringing you into a pathway. Well, what is that need to be? Let's begin with those maybe who don't feel to come in with Peter here as a true believer, but you've got this You feel to be under manifold. There's more than one thing on you this morning. Maybe you feel to be surrounded. Maybe it's not one problem after another, but it's one on top of another. You know, Baruch, who was writing the words of Jeremiah, he got very cast down. He was writing these words out of the lips of Jeremiah the prophet. Not only had he seen some of his scroll cut up with a penknife and thrown onto the fire and burnt, but the things he was writing, the captivity, the overthrow of Jerusalem, the taking into captivity in Babylon, and he had other thoughts. He'd come from a wealthy family. He had an eminent family in Israel, and it wasn't going how he thought it would. Here he is, hearing Jeremiah's prophecy, hearing the word of the Lord, hearing of all the trouble, hearing of all the judgments against Israel, and all the trouble that is coming, and he's writing it out, and it's casting him down. No, it's not how he thought it would be. You know, when he began his life, well, he looked to the future, the prospects that he had, what he might become and where he might go. To have these things all swept away as he's writing out the judgments, and he's part of it. He's part of it. But the Lord comes. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, unto thee, O Baruch, thou didst say, woe is me now, for the Lord hath added grief to my sorrow. He's added grief to my sorrow. You're in trouble, and the Lord adds more. You say, is this a God of love? I've got sorrow. Now, I've got trouble, but he's adding grief to it. He's aggravating it. The knife is in, and it's been twisted. There's salt being rubbed in the wound. He's aggravating my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. I find no rest. Can't find any ground to rest on. It's trouble, it's trouble, it's trouble. I'm surrounded by it. Really, he's afflicted, isn't he, in his mind. He's overwhelmed. His mind is in trouble. His spirit is cast down. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. The Lord heard every word. Or if he didn't even express it, he heard every sigh. He saw every tear. He heard every anguish of heart, every troublesome thought. As his way's frustrated, things aren't panning out the way he thought they would. Things aren't going the way he thought they might. It's door shut. It's door shut. But it's more than that. It's blow upon blow. And he finds himself going lower and lower. And then the Lord seems to add grief to it. Grief to it. You know, sometimes it does begin with a providential trouble, an outward trial. You know, the world has outward trials. You know, the trials and tribulations are not just reserved for the child of God. The world is full of trouble. The world is full of trials. They have their difficult and hard things. But you see, what begins outward If you and I are one of the Lord's dear children, maybe you don't know it this morning. Maybe that's the point you don't. 'Tis a point I long to know, and you don't know it, but all you find is an outward trouble. You can't see a way through it, but is it causing you an inward one? Is it bringing this outward difficulty? Is it making an inward one? Or is it making you anxious? Not just for the difficulty, the mountain that's before you, or the trouble you're in, but are you beginning to be concerned with your soul? Is the Lord using it to exercise you? Am I really one of His? A wonderful thing. And I'll use that word carefully, but it will be a wonderful thing if that is the case with you and I. Oh, there might be some self-examination. If there's nothing else that comes from the service this morning, there might be some self-examination. Oh, that the Lord might open our eyes. The Lord might give us a spirit of searching our own heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my ways, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Oh, if that's what the fruit of your trial this morning, what a wonderful thing. If you're brought to lay the burden at His feet, and the trouble of your soul that it has brought you at His feet. Woe is me now, for the Lord hath added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, I find no rest. And the Lord says, and seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. All your prospects, all your dreams, all those ambitions you had, seek them not. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto thee. For behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh. Those things you've written, Barak, they will come to pass, saith the Lord, but thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest. All will be well, Barak. Your life, I've given it. You're safe in your Redeemer's hands, who bears your names upon His heart. There's the rest, Barak, that you're looking for. Oh, you can't see it with the natural eye. Oh, but it's the eye of faith that's needed. It's that which is needed for you this morning. Think of Elisha. When he was surrounded, under siege, him and his servant in the city, he had saved, hadn't he, the king of Israel, time and time again, from the ambushes that the king of Syria had laid for him. God had told Elisha, and Elisha had warned the king. So much so that the king of Syria thought his own servants, there was a traitor in his own house. Because every time he planned something, it came to nothing. And so, on hearing that it was Elisha, the man of God, he goes with his whole host of army and besieges the city and surrounds them. And the servant then sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and with chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? I wonder if that's a feeling that you've had or you're feeling at the moment. Alas, master, how shall we do? You're surrounded with trouble. You can't see a way through it. And even if you can see a way through it, you don't like the look of it. Oh, but it's unclear. It's uncertain. It's a time of anxiety. It's a time of great fear. Alas, master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Have you not looked out the window, Elisha? How can you say that? They that be with us are more than they that be with them. Have a look out the window. The whole city surrounded. What are you talking about? Are you mad? How can you say, fear not? And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. See what? What was he to see? He can see the enemy, he can see the trouble. See what? The Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. An unseen help. His God, a sovereign protector I have, unseen with a natural eye, yet forever at hand. Oh, open the eyes of the young man. I wonder if there's a young man or a young woman here this morning. You can't see. Oh, you hear the preaching of the word. You read it, it's fear not, certainly I'll be with thee, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But it's with the hearing of the ear you're hearing it. Oh, it's not entering in. It sounds nice, but it wears off. Lord, open my eyes, that I might see what thy word is speaking of. An eye of faith to lay hold, that there is a host, that there is a heavenly host, that there is a Lord God omnipotent reigning in heaven, that he has all things in his hand, with heaven and earth at his command. He waits to answer prayer. Oh, he giveth more grace. He might not take away your mountain this morning. It may lead exactly where you fear it might. But he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. And that this trial of your faith, because that's what it is, faith, however small, this is not just the end of journey, a pilgrim that has his faith tried. It's the beginning of faith that is tried. It's the whole path of faith, from the very conception of it in the heart by the Spirit. Faith, however small, must and will be tried, because it's under that trial that, and the nevertheless afterward, it's under that trial that there is an afterward. And what is the afterward? There's a swelling of that faith as God proves himself faithful to his people. No, it's a privilege, beloved friends. It's a favour unspeakable to be given living faith and to have it exercised. To be given a glimmer of hope and have it exercised. To be given some hope in the word of God and to have it exercised. To be brought by faith to prayer at the throne of grace and have that tried and exercised. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold. Well, gold is very precious, isn't it? It's a substance that the world is seeking after. Gold is a precious thing. It has been right through the generations. But Peter says, your trial of faith is more precious than that. That gold will perish. Well, it's a lasting substance, but it won't last for eternity. It's an earthly thing. It's a thing of this earth, and it will vanish away at last. It's more precious than that, the trial of your faith. You say it doesn't feel to be precious this morning. If this that I'm passing through, this that I've been brought into, is a trial of faith, as you say, doesn't feel to be anything precious to me. But you need the Lord to bring it forth as precious. You're in the furnace, you're in the trial. Very few, beloved friends, are able to see the glories, the benefits, the love, the end design, when they're in the trial. And often the Lord hides his face in the trial. Often the Lord withdraws himself from you in the trial. Often there is a feeling of being forsaken in the trial and feeling that you are alone. But under those feelings, the Lord works a work which brings a desire, brings real prayer. It's not just prayer, it's supplications. It's with weeping and with supplications will I lead them. And it's been squeezed and pressed out of us, these strong cryings and tears, as we're forced at his feet, feeling unworthy of his notice, but needing it so much more and more as the flame of the trial licks upon the fleshy parts of us. And the rubbish is being burnt away. And that doesn't come away easily. We don't separate easily from the flesh. We don't separate easily from the lusts of our flesh and the things that are dragging us and weighing us down. But we're on a journey. We've got to lay aside every weight. What a mercy the Lord so enables these things to be laid aside as the flame of the trial licks away and burns away and consumes those things that weigh upon us and slow us down and clog our minds. Much more precious than of gold, because when viewed, when seen, when viewed and the work is done, looking back, there's a looking back, there's a nevertheless afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. There's a looking back, there's an end and a looking back to them. There's the preciousness. There is precious to his people. I've heard it from the lips of many who have passed through difficulty. They look back. They don't want the trouble again, but they want the nearness again. When they felt the Lord was listening to every conversation in their house, everything they spoke to, as they spoke to one another maybe in a joint trial or in their own closet, and they were pouring out their hearts before the Lord. They went up to the house of the Lord, and the word of the Lord came right where they are, They want that again, that nearness with him, that felt sense of his presence. When they opened the Word of God and it unfolded, they read their own case, they were led into those promises in the Word of God. It's precious, beloved friends. The trial of your faith, it's precious. Peter goes on in chapter 2 and says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. He is precious. Because in those times when you're brought to nothing, when you're brought to the end of everything, oh, when you're brought to look up and ask and cry out and seek, and in his time, when he comes, when he delivers, oh, the preciousness of Christ Jesus. As you found him a friend before the throne of love, as you find a sweet confirmation that you're loved with an everlasting love, that he's not pushing you away, but all the time he's been drawing you, drawing you, drawing you nearer. It's actually the opposite to what you felt in it. You felt he was pushing you away. He was rejecting you. Satan was telling you he was confirming you weren't one of his. But it's proved to be the opposite. And in these exercises of soul, and in these burdens of providence, and as they've united and entwined together, you found a precious Saviour who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. It's precious to you and it's precious to him. The trial of your faith is precious to God. Why? It's his work. And his work is precious. And the souls of his people, they're precious to him. It's everlasting love. It's an unchanging love. It's a father of love. And all he does in connection with his dear children is a work of love. All his dealings are in love. Everything is moved and motivated by love. And it's an unchanging love. And this trial of your faith is much more precious than gold that perisheth. It's precious to the recipient, the one who's in it. Oh, and it's precious in the sight of Almighty God. As there is honour and there's glory and there's praise that is to come from it. For we know that all things work together for good. They don't work on their own. They work together. Your trouble together with faith. Your trouble together with an unseen hand of love. Working together for good. Or maybe it's one trial and another, and together they work for your good. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose, to them that love God. It doesn't say to them that God loves, because how would we know? But that the Spirit has left on record in Holy Scripture, to them that love God, given us a sweet indication. Can we trace it out? If it said to get to them that God loves, you say, how do I know? But from an honest heart this morning, do you love God? Oh, do you find yourself drawn after him? To them that love God. Oh, you say, I do love him. I do love him. I can't live without him. But I can't get through this. I can't face this. I can't see how this will work together for good. I'm struggling to comprehend how that any good can come from it. I'm finding, if I'm honest, I'm finding it's bringing at times some resentment. I'm finding I'm kicking against it. I'm finding I'm looking at others and thinking, well, they haven't got this. I'm looking at the world and they haven't got what I've got. And I feel I love God, but this feels to be harsh. This feels to be more than I can bear. This feels to be more than I deserve. Really? You dare say it? You feeling hard done by? More than I deserve? Really? Oh, beloved friends, pray the Lord will lead you to that place at Calvary. Pray the Lord will shine a light into your heart. That first, before you're led to Calvary, you see what you are, what your sins deserve. And then come back with your burden and say, it's more than I deserve. Oh, go by faith to Calvary. See the great sin bearer, the great burden bearer. Is that more than he deserved? Willingly, he humbled himself, made himself of no reputation. No, he was spotless, innocent and pure, God's eternal Son. Oh, and willingly, in that great act of love and obedience, he received the church of God from his Father and said, I will undertake for them. I will all their burdens bear. I will all their needs supply. Oh, then may we be granted submission. Submission in the trial. Wait patiently in the trial. Fret not in the trial, but may our fretting be, Lord, bring forth this gold. Let me come forth from this, different to how I went in it. That's the concern, not to just pass through things and out the other side. Let there be something done. Let there be something accomplished. In the name of the Holy Child Jesus, let it bring forth some real gold. Let it be seen in me. Oh, let there be some image of Christ in me. Let me be made conformable to the image of his dear Son. Oh, that something might reflect from me, from him. Oh, that in this, my trial, I might walk a little of the pathway of my dear Saviour. What a privilege. He's gone on before to be a follower of the Lamb. Oh, to be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Lord, give me more faith. Faith to believe. Faith to look beyond this mountain. Faith to look to the promised rest. Faith to lay hold that this is not my rest. I've got to be sick of self. I need to be made fond of him. I've got to be separated from all of these things here below, made willing to leave all and follow him. I need this separating work. I need more of the trial of my faith. Oh, I have so little faith. Lord, what little I have, Lord, increase it. And if it's trouble, and if it's sorrow, if it's affliction, give me grace to bear it. Oh, the righteous, we sing, don't we, shall hold on their way. They may on the main of temptation be tossed. Their sorrows may swell as a sea, but none of the ransomed shall ever be lost. The righteous shall hold on his way. Not because they're able to in themselves, but because there's an unseen hand that's holding them fast and will never leave them, will never let go, will bring them through safely at last. This affliction, this trouble, this sadness, this trouble is for a reason. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. I'll close with a few words from Hebrews chapter 12. I feel this morning this is for somebody. Oh, and it's this. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For which son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Last Lord's Day amounted to £800, which were in remembrance of Mr. Field's 50 years here. And God willing, Mr. Field is expected to preach on Friday evening and next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 762. How soft the words my Saviour speaks, how kind the promises he makes. A bruised reed he never breaks, nor will he quench the smoking flax. 762.
now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.